You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class for a Thursday here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Local programming continues. Hope you caught Spencer on Sports at 2 o'clock. And then right after us, it's the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock coming up this evening. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union each and every day right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Claire Peterson, the outgoing director of the John Deere Classic, is going to be joining us coming up in about a half hour or so, maybe a little less than a half hour. We'll talk and preview the John Deere Classic for 2022, which takes place next week at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois. We'll talk all about that and talk about the future as far as the tour, the JDC, and whatnot. With Live Golf now on the horizon and here as far as the golf world is concerned, and with purses going up, et cetera, et cetera. We will do that with Claire coming up in just a little bit. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well, 319-366-1600. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me once again from the slightly warm back porch on the southwest side, and our terrific producer Ben on the other side of the glass with us here today. And hope you got the AC cranked to about an 11. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And no, it's very comfortable. I'd much rather be in the studio, but circumstances being what they are, and I won't get into that, but we'll be back soon. Let's put it that way. And yeah, the day is finally here for Keegan Murray, and it's a big day for women to celebrate their legacy in sports and much more.
Yeah, and we should not downplay the fact that today is the anniversary of Title IX, and of course John Steppe, we had him on recently anyway, and if you missed that podcast, go back and listen to it at kgymradio.com. You can listen to any of the shows. Just find it there. You can also go to Apple or Spotify. And yeah, John talked about his series, and Rob Gray also doing the top 10 as far as Iowa State is concerned, top 50 as far as the University of Iowa is concerned. And you're all wondering what number one was. I don't want to spoil it if you have not seen it today, but I think it is an apropos number one. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. But it is the day that basketball fans have been looking forward to tonight. The evening, anyway, we should say. The 2022 NBA draft, and that certainly includes us here in Eastern Iowa as a very historic night tonight, very significant night, as Keegan Murray is going to hear his name called more than likely very early as far as the draft proceedings are concerned tonight. We will have the entirety of the NBA draft for you coming up at 7 o'clock, or excuse me, at 6 o'clock this evening. 6 o'clock this evening on all of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City right here for you. And definitely looking forward to it, Mark, to see exactly where Keegan is going to fall and where he is going to play his basketball next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We've been waiting for this day for weeks on end, and I know Keegan and his family are anxious to learn where the destination is, and no one really knows. All kinds of mock drafts. But maybe you'd like to weigh in, KGYMRadio.com, our poll question. Where will Keegan Murray be taken in tonight's NBA draft? We give you three choices. Fifth round or earlier, or fifth pick or earlier. The sixth pick or the seventh pick or later. Thanks to Steve Anderson, who's very interested in this draft as well, and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement Highway 1 West in Iowa City.
Yeah, that's a tough call. I don't think there's any doubt that is a tough call. But yeah, mock's still going right now, up until the last possible moment anyway. And I think Keegan Murray is definitely slotted into the top 10. He is going to be a lottery pick. He's going to be the first lottery pick ever out of the fair metro area of Cedar Rapids and Marion. And you and I were talking about that a little bit earlier on today, Mark, and the fact that kind of going over the history as far as NBA draft choices are concerned from our fair city, cities, if you will, with Cedar Rapids and Marion in there. And Keegan Murray will be the first draft choice since 2016, back when Marcus Page from North Carolina and from Linmar was selected in the second round by the Brooklyn Nets. And then you can, and we're talking about the two-round draft here, Mark, because we can go all the way back. You said our friend Rick Williams. You got to go back to what, 1969 was that, or beyond that?
Yeah, I was in that area, and Rick was taken in the 12th, 13th, 14th round. I'm not sure which, but the point being is that Metro players being drafted is a list that is very short. You mentioned Page, and there's only a couple other. Russ Millard,
yep,
from Washington, who played with Keegan Murray's dad, Kenyon, at Iowa, also was a second-round pick. Before the two-round draft, you have to go back, way back, Bob Nedelecki from Washington was a second-round pick, and maybe even higher in the ABA draft. But in terms of the two-round draft, the list is very short. You might be wondering about a guy like Dean Utoff. Back in the day, he was a sixth-rounder. Jared Utoff was not drafted. So the list is very short.
It is. And Russell Millard was a second-round pick. Early mid-second round, if my memory is solid right there with that. And 55, I think, or right in there, was where Marcus was drafted back in 2016. Out of North Carolina. And, of course, Marcus played a few years in the NBA, playing overseas still, and doing a bang-up job overseas, winning some championships and whatnot. But what a night it's going to be for the Murray family. What a night it's going to be, obviously, for Keegan, for Fran McCaffrey, his staff, for the University of Iowa itself, as far as the men's basketball program is concerned, the Metro. Don't think there's any doubt about that. Cedar Rapids Prairie basketball. I know, as we mentioned yesterday, they're going to have a big watch party over there at Prairie High School coming up tonight. Going to be hopefully there'll be some cameras over there, the national cameras, and they'll have that eruption when Keegan's name is called. That will be really cool to see. And the MVC, to be honest with you. So a lot of people benefiting from this tonight, smiling from ear to ear, and just it's a very, very fun night. And you go back in time, and it's been documented many, many times that, you know, I still remember the day Keegan and Chris said they were going to go to Iowa, and just reading things on the internet. And you can go back now and kind of chuckle and when you read them, but there weren't some flattering things that were said back then. They've all been taken back, I know now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Of course, Keegan will be in Brooklyn, New York, where the draft is being held with his brother Chris and his family. He's one of 24 players invited to the green room. I'm going to check tonight, see if it's really green. But
biggest question, what kind of suit does Keegan wear tonight?
I think it's going to be pretty modest, don't you?
I got to think it is, because that's the kind of kids the Murrays are. I don't see anything ultra flashy as far as Keegan is concerned. That seems to be a thing over the years. The flashier, the better, as far as not only the NBA draft, but the rest of the drafts as well. I mean, the NFL, not so much, I think, Major League Baseball and the NHL, but certainly the NBA over the years has had some very, very aggressive fashion statements that have been made. But I don't see Keegan doing that tonight.
No, I don't think so. And you're quite right. It's become as much a fashion show as a draft, depending on whether it's the NFL or the NBA. But just can't wait to see how this unfolds. It's going to be fascinating.
It is. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, like 0835. They believe either fifth pick or sixth pick. They say, I think the first four are pretty much decided unless a trade happens. I think he could be reunited with Garza. A lot of people thinking that. The final CBS Sports mock draft has that exact scenario playing out where Keegan Murray is going to go fifth in the first round to the Detroit Pistons. And not only Luka Garza, but of course Cade Cunningham in there as far as the Detroit Pistons are concerned. And
well, apparently Garza, because the Pistons have until Tuesday to tender him.
Correct.
So you got to believe they're going to stick with Garza, but that's all but official yet.
Very true. Very, very true. And I'm thinking five or six. First four are pretty much Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Banchero, and then Jaden Ivey in whatever order you want to go with. They seem to be the consensus top four. I hope that Keegan, I mean, if he goes fourth to Sacramento, so be it. We've had so many people over the years go to Sacramento. It seems like a lot of Iowa Staters going there. Just seems like everybody ends up in Sacramento for some reason. Let's try somewhere else now, Mark.
Yeah, Halliburton did until he got traded. And I think Detroit or Indiana would be terrific landing spots for many reasons for Keegan Murray. But we've said it often. We don't know about trades. A couple players being unloaded yesterday, one in Portland, I believe. The great unknown is whether a trade's going to be made with any of those top five or six picks.
Very true. Very true. And a lot of good players up and down the line. I mean, when you're talking about Ochai Agbaji, right now around the number 10 pick, Johnny Davis in there, the Big Ten Player of the Year. A.J. Griffin in there, Malachi Branham. It's a very deep first round as far as top nine players are concerned. And that includes E.J. Liddell. Don't forget about him from Ohio State. I think he is one that can make some noise as far as the first round is concerned.
Yeah, and I saw the Lakers acquired the 35th pick in the draft. And exchange for a future second rounder and cash. Lakers obviously thinking this is a draft that's deeper than just the first round.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jabari Smith's going to be that guy, though, whenever the first draft choice name is called. Again, our coverage starts at 6 o'clock tonight. And that'll be in all of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Jabari Smith expected to be number one, the 6'10", 220-pound power forward out of Auburn. Chet Holmgren, a lot of people all of a sudden liking Chet Holmgren again, that he should be the number one choice. He was kind of that guy before the start of the college basketball season last year. He was going to be the no-doubt number one because, he can handle the ball, he can go outside, he can shoot the ball. You go from one to two, that's not a big drop-off. Nothing to be concerned about or anything like that. But I think I'd rather have Smith than Holmgren, but we'll see. I know you would, Mark.
Absolutely. And Banchero isn't far behind, I don't think, either.
No.
Both around 6'10". I think the top three is pretty locked in. I'm not so sure about four with Ivy, but... Again, remains to be seen, just in a few hours.
Mm-hmm. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim says, yeah, Holmgren looks hologram. It looks so thin, though. He is. They'll put a little poundage on him, though. Listed at 7 feet 195 right now. So probably he's in the vicinity of 190, would be my guess.
That's thin.
That is thin. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Also today, and Mark mentioned this, that we are celebrating the milestone, the anniversary of Title IX going into effect 50 years ago, as that brought all kinds of advances as far as sports, individual sports, team sports, what have you, as far as female basketball, for instance, just all sports up and down the line. And like we talked about at the outset of the program, John Steppe in his series chronicling the top 50 moments at the University of Iowa as far as Title IX is concerned. And number one did not surprise me, Mark. I was there. I was a part of it. And at the top against the railing. But it was still, to this day, it was an amazing, amazing day as far as not only Iowa sports, Iowa women's basketball, certainly, but really college women's basketball, you know, in general is concerned.
Well, the greatest footnote to that day, I think, and I was not there, the greatest footnote in my mind was that Christine Grant, the athletic director, got a warning from the fire marshal after that game. And while she, I'm sure she took it seriously, she framed it. It was on her wall until the day she died.
Yeah. And what was the official number?
22,157.
Yeah, 22,157. And there might have been more.
That's at least 7,000 over capacity, right?
Oh, yeah. People were ringing three or four deep up top and of the arena. Few people sitting in the – I think the few people that were sitting in the aisles, that was what got, you know, the ire of the fire marshal that day. Not that 7,000 extra people in there would not do that. I'm not saying that. But there were a few people sitting on the stairs, and that – that probably, looking back on it, was not a good situation.
Yeah, it wasn't so much that, you know, it was six deep on the corridor, but yeah, people sitting in the stairways, that probably wasn't a good thing. And you know, now there's 50,000 people that were at the game or claimed to have been, right?
Oh yeah, at least 50,000 that claimed to be there. And that was a crazy, crazy day. Lost the game, though, by the way, to Ohio State.
Yeah, I've done a bit of reminiscing today about Title IX. I was a junior in high school when it came into being, and it wasn't long after that metro area teams added girls basketball, among other sports. It was a six-on-six variety at the time. And I always wondered what, you know, small towns had girls basketball for decades.
Oh, yeah.
Years and years. But the metro schools did not. I've never gotten an answer as to why that was. But Title IX ushered in girls basketball in the metro area and other areas.
Yeah, basically the metro areas of the state of Iowa did not have girls basketball teams.
Yeah.
Did not. And volleyball was barely in its infancy back then. Same thing, I believe, with softball. And just, yeah, that was the landmark decision that got things rolling in a good way. And yes, 50 years ago today. So very, very big day as far as women's athletics are concerned. And And now we're looking into even more expansion as far as women's athletics are concerned, professional-wise, with trying to grow the earnings situation to be at least closer as far as men's sports are concerned. Just new sports being created, women's wrestling, girls' wrestling coming in, kind of being the latest right there. So really, really, really good stuff coming from that. 325 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Going to talk some golf with Claire Peterson coming up in a little bit. 0835 on the text line. Out of all the former Hawks that have been drafted, this has to be the biggest surprise slash dark horse in Hawkeye history, going by how they were scouted in high school.
Yeah.
Don't think there's any doubt. Don't think there's any doubt. And a great move in retrospect, and we've said it many, many times, by the Murray family making the decision to go down to Florida between high school and the first year as far as college is concerned, and going down to prep school, working on what they needed to work on as far as getting better in the game of basketball, getting bigger, faster, stronger. Came back. I remember the first time I saw the twins when they came back after being down in Florida, and I just hardly didn't even recognize them. Crazy how much bigger they had gotten. But all to fruition coming up tonight, and I think down the road, obviously, for Chris as well.
Yeah, they're going to be celebrating at IMG Academy as well down in Florida. The biggest move in both those boys' career.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. 1553 says, I miss six-player girls basketball. We're not going to get into that today. Hey, by the way, did you see the announcement before we get to you and an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, Mark? I'll put an addendum into it for you. But yesterday, Tom Keating and the Iowa High School Athletic Association announcing that it's going to be a different scenario now as far as the Iowa Hall of Pride is concerned. The actual physical Hall of Pride is going to be closing on, I believe it is a week from today, June the 30th. And everything that is in the hall right now is going to be, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but they are doing it. It's now going to be an online experience as far as the Hall of Pride is concerned. So if you have not ever been there, you have a week to get there before it goes online permanently.
No, I didn't see that. That's an interesting move. And the reasoning behind it, I'm not sure what it might be. Maybe the attendance wasn't there at the physical building. I don't know. But, yeah, that's news to me and an interesting development as well.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that plays out. And if more – a chance maybe for more people to visit, I guess, would be my guess as far as that is concerned. But – I mean, you never know. I mean, maybe it's attendance. Maybe it's just a situation where they've outgrown their building. I don't know. It was part of Hy-Vee Hall, which was, of course, next to Vets Auditorium and across the street from Wells Fargo Arena. If you have been there, and it was a very, very fun visit. One time I did stop by, so do have that in the back pocket right there. All right, Mark, going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here on the Gym Class. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. Stop on by. They open at 4 o'clock. Patio available to you. And you can wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar or bring the whole family for friendly service in their dining area. What's on today's scoreboard?
Afternoon games in Major League Baseball. A couple finals. Pittsburgh has defeated the Chicago Cubs 8-7 in 10 innings. My goodness, the Twins bullpen held on.
Whoa.
And beat Cleveland 1-0. That coming after two one-run losses. Milwaukee ahead of St. Louis 5-4, top of the seventh. End of the third, Oakland on top of Seattle 1-0. Another final. Miami has defeated Colorado 3-2. And Atlanta topping San Francisco 7-6. At the Travelers Championship in Connecticut, Zach Johnson, part of a marquee group this afternoon with Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth. The group itself not doing a whole lot. Scheffler at minus one there in the 13th hole, by the way. Zach Johnson even. Jordan Spieth plus five.
Ooh.
Yeah. Recruiting news, Arch Manning has committed to Texas. He's the number one quarterback in his class.
They're back.
That's Cooper's son, by the way.
Yep, they're back. Texas is back.
High school news, Jefferson has announced, Cedar Rapids Jefferson, that is, has announced its first women's wrestling coach. She is Vicki Lubeck, a Jefferson graduate and a teacher at present and coach at Wilson Middle School. And I'll throw this out there. Maybe we'll talk about it later. Iowa basketball has landed a legacy recruit in Cooper Koch, J.R. Koch's son, 6'8", player out of Peoria. He also had suitors in Purdue, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Koch will be part of the 2024 class.
And Mark and I officially feel older.
Well, between that and Title IX, yeah, no doubt about it.
Man, I still remember J.R. Koch.
He was drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good player. Good player for the Hawkeyes back in the day under Tom Davis. Before we get to our break here, we're going to bring in Claire Peterson coming up. Matt in Fairfax. Pretty wild that Prairie has had a few D1 basketball players and Wessels and Kim and Hook, but none with this level of success. Awesome to see a local kid do that. And I agree with you, Matt. In Fairfax, which of course part of the college community schools down there at Cedar Rapids Prairie. We'll take a break, come back. We'll switch gears, talk a little golf. Claire Peterson, the retiring director of the John Deere Classic, set to join us after weather updates and more on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
From the CBS 2 Iowa's News Now with the first forecast, Center Eye Meteorologist Nick Stewart, mainly clear, calm, and quiet overnight tonight, a low near 66. For your Friday, partly cloudy skies throughout the day, temperatures will be warmer, pushing back near 87 degrees. There will be a chance for a stray shower in the morning and afternoon as well. For your Saturday, showers and storms will be likely in the early morning hours, maybe producing some locally heavy rainfall. Another threat for storms in the afternoon with a high near 88. On Sunday, mainly sunny skies, much cooler though, high near 78. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team split a doubleheader with City High and Iowa City Monday night. The Saints lost 6-5 in Game 1, then came back for the 7-4 victory in Game 2. Senior Alex Neal and junior Brody Hoffman each got two runs to help secure the win. Nearly 2 years after the derecho destroyed the Xavier baseball field, the Saints are back home on their rebuilt, upgraded field. The Saints welcome Benton to the freshly rededicated Ken Sharper Field tonight. The Xavier softball team is having a great week. They swept their twin bill with Dubuque Wallard on Monday. On Tuesday, the Saints had another sweep in their doubleheader with Waterloo West. The team travels to Iowa City tonight for a matchup with City High.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
The John Deere Classic is coming. With new dates June 29th through July 3rd, we have fabulous new ticket options, an all-new Youth Day, great benefits for our military, fun new experiences, and free parking for ticket holders. You heard me right. Plus all the world-class action you know and love. So you'd better get in on the excitement. Visit JohnDeereClassic.com today for your spot to see magic happen here.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Back with you at 3:34 on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Scott and Mark with you. Taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. NBA draft coming up tonight, 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Going to talk some golf here. We've been talking basketball here, and for the most part anyway, a little Title IX anniversary celebration, recollections as well. But next week it is the John Deere Classic that will take place at the TPC Deer Run. And Claire Peterson, kind enough to join us once again, as probably for the last time, at least in this capacity anyway, as the executive director of the John Deere Classic. And Claire, let me be number 1,453 in line to wish you a impending happy retirement.
Well, it's very nice. Yeah, 20 years is a pretty good run in this business. So no one is accusing me of retiring early. Let's put it that way.
No doubt. And different date, obviously, for the JDC this year. That's the first big headline, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 weeks away from the Open, or the British Open, as a lot of people refer to it. Something that is brand new for us. We welcome the chance to get a little breathing room between the British and ourselves. The reality is that it's still a tough 7-week stretch for the top players. If you go back to the Memorial, which is Jack Nicklaus's event, and then you go to the RBC Canadian Open, a national championship, then you have the US Open, obviously, then you go to the Travelers, very popular event, then you have our event, then you have a new co-sanctioned event, Scottish Open, and then the British. It's a tough decision for guys, we've found out, to decide how many weeks in a row they want to play. That said, we still got 156 world-class players here that we're very excited about, that touch a lot of the categories that people are always interested in.
Yeah, it is a quality field, Claire, and looking through the entry list. There has been some effect, I would guess, between the Scottish Open and the LIV event, I would guess.
I don't think any of those 48, I guess they haven't announced all 48 live players yet. I don't think any of those guys are planning to come our way anyway, so that's really
true.
A non-issue. The Scottish, I think it is, because it's their first year as a co-sanctioned event, and the tour basically is going to have 75 of their members there, and the DP World Tour make up the rest of the field. So I think once players decided to do that and go that route, it was tough to do both ours and one on the other side of the Atlantic. So that said, you know, I think the new date, we haven't had Jason Day or Webb Simpson here for a while. We gave Jason his first start back in 06, made his first check here. So we're happy to have him back. Webb Simpson, we haven't had him back. They were both sponsor exemption, the cars. Haven't had Webb back since he won the U.S. Open. Guy like Daniel Berger, we're excited about. We've got 9 of our past champions coming back. 29 players who have won a PGA Tour event in the last 2 years. So it's deep. Steve Stricker, who isn't in either of those categories, is coming back. 3-time winner, and probably the only PGA Tour event he's going to play now that he's well into his 50s. He's kind of focused on the Champions Tour. But it's a lot of guys that played well in the U.S. Open last week. Denny McCarthy, you know, Nick Hardy, Adam Shank, Chris Goddard, sponsor exemption of ours out of Oklahoma. He made the cut and played really well. So they're all world-class players. There's just some that are more familiar maybe to the casual fan than others. Davis Riley and Sahith Theegala are two young players, rookies this year, that I'm extremely excited about having here and could very well be in the winner's circle. Both almost won earlier in the year. Davis losing a playoff at Valspar to Sam Burns, who's world-class. And Sahith in Phoenix, where he hit a great shot on 17 and he kind of caught a bad break and it rolled over the green into the water. So anyway, there's plenty of good stories going on here.
Yeah, there are. And, of course, one of the great traditions has been the exemptions that you guys have given out. And seemingly, you guys know your stuff, because seemingly all these guys go on to be major champions or big winners on the tour. And you've had a great track record over the years with those.
Well, I appreciate that. Like I said, Chris Goddard, Haskins Award winner, Nicholas Award winner, really accomplished player out of Oklahoma, is going to be here, and he could very well do exactly what you just described. There's another young player that maybe the casual fan hasn't heard a whole lot about, Patrick Flavin. He's been out of college for a while. He's from Illinois, so we're very familiar with him. Won the Illinois Amateur and the Illinois Open when he was in college, which I think only one other person in its history had ever done that. He's Monday qualified five times this year on the PGA Tour, which is unheard of. And we're really excited to have him here. And then we've got a young player out of Duke, Quinn Riley, who wrote us this unbelievable letter. He's out of the Raleigh, North Carolina First Tee program. Deere's got an office in Raleigh. And you want to have a good feeling for the future, you can read this young man's letter and just say that his, you know, interest in golf goes more than just the sport or more than just a career. He wants to accomplish great things and be a role model for others. His brother being the main one, and he's an African-American player that didn't have all the great access or advantages early in his life, but is very appreciative of it now. So it's really, you're right, fun to root for these guys, have them in the field, watch them succeed. And we've got a few of them this year that fit that bill.
Claire, you probably haven't had a great deal of time to reflect on the last 20 years. But if I could put you on the spot for a minute, where was the JDC when you came aboard, and where do you see it now?
Yeah, I started actually as a Deere employee, just on the board as kind of a liaison, since Deere had become title sponsor and was providing equipment. They kind of wanted a point person for that. And at that point, Deere signed the agreement in 1997, became title sponsor in 1998, had the golf course finished in 2000. I became tournament director as a Lent employee in 2002. The main thing that happened was some stability and the ability to have a long-term plan. The tournament, through heroic efforts, really had kept going for 30-some years, but it was always kind of a year-to-year thing. Will there be a tournament this year? There's actually, we did a book last year on our 50 years, and there's press releases announcing the end of the tournament that were printed up and in place a couple times. We had board members take second mortgages out on their houses to meet the purse a couple times. So it was year by year, and what's changed, I think, most dramatically is the stability. Obviously, John Deere getting involved and staying involved for this long. They're the third longest title sponsor now behind AT&T and Honda. Provides a great foundation. And with a world-class venue, TPC Deere Run, we've been able to kind of reinvent ourselves. And through some of the things that have happened, the Zach Johnson's winning, the Steve Stricker's winning, Jordan Spieth's winning, Bryson DeChambeau's winning, we've got a lot of worldwide attention, and people see and respect what's going on here. And our charitable numbers have, in parallel, gone up as well. We've raised $145 million since John Deere became title sponsor, and $12 to $13 million a year for the last 3 years. One of those years, we didn't even have a tournament. That's why our Birdies for Charity program is so coveted by other events. So I guess it's a long answer to your question, but it's the fact that it's stable and has the ability to look out a little more than a year at a time now.
Yeah, and Birdies for Charity, one of the top top charitable organizations on the PGA Tour calendar. And I know you guys are very, very proud about that.
Yeah, we invented it. So we actually licensed the Birdies for Charity name and logo to, I think, about 13 other events. But we've got it down to where it's a partnership between charities in town that know that if they encourage their donors to partner with us, they're going to get 100 cents back on the donated dollar because Deer pays for all the administrative fees. So that's the best deal in town. Then we put on the tournament and take our tournament profits and promise at least a 5% bonus to each of these organizations. And last year, as an example, we were able to do better than 5%. We did 8%. So it's impossible to ignore if you're a 501c3, and it's got tremendous positive momentum because people realize that are supporting these organizations that it's a most efficient way and the most impactful way that they can make a donation.
Clay, what has Zach Johnson meant to the JDC?
Is everything too much of a... he's our ambassador. He's just the face of the event, the personality of the event. He was my first sponsor exemption when I became tournament director. Was interim in 2002 and full-time in 2003. Zach, just fresh off, I don't know what it was called back then, maybe buy.com or something. He was a player of the year and extremely accomplished long before he started winning majors and so forth. But he agreed to be on our board. He's called in every month when we've had our executive committee meetings from, I think, the year 2004 on, which is unbelievable. He's down to earth, humble, hardworking, everything that John Deere as a brand would try to reflect. So he's the perfect guy. He's the only, player that John Deere ever put their logo on the bag. You know, that says something as well. Now this year they've inked a deal with Daniel Berger as well, but Josh for the last 15 years or so has had a John Deere logo probably on his bag, which probably answers your question, how important is he to the John Deere Classic?
Yeah, no doubt. Claire Peterson from the John Deere Classic joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Still plenty of time for folks to pick up tickets. You have, of course, the grounds pass, but you've got all sorts of great deals. You've got a flex pass. You've got new this year, cocktails on the course. You got a lot of ways that you can see the JDC this year.
Yeah, we learned a lot last year. We had a restricted event because of COVID protocols in the state of Illinois, where the tournament is. And with that, found that some of these open-air venues were really appealing to people. Having food and beverage unlimited was really appealing. We had daily specific digital tickets last year. We had to do that because of the restrictions. People said, man, I really miss the any day opportunity. So we introduced the flex pass to accommodate that. I think got everything covered if you're a golf fan. And, you know, being a spectator is so great at a golf event. You're not assigned a seat like going to a baseball game or something like that. You can consume the product a lot of different ways, you know, following a group, staying, you know, in one place and letting groups go by you if you find a nice shady spot. If you have an upgraded ticket, sitting in a hospitality area and having a conversation with somebody and still being able to look out over the rail and see what's happening. It's just a great sport, in my opinion, to come out and take in.
Between 15 and 18, my favorite spot, Claire.
That's an awesome spot. A lot of shade in there. Yeah, I like to sit behind number 6 green also. There's a nice shady area there. Most of the hills have taken care of themselves in holes 1 through 6. If you want to follow a group, you can, but you have the 7th tee and the 8th green and the 9th tee all in that pretty small area. Plus the fan zone where you can go in an air-conditioned area and watch on a Jumbotron and have a beverage if you want. So that's my front nine spot. I agree with you that that spot you described on 18 is pretty sweet too.
Yeah, not too bad anyway. And well, you'd love to have a finish like you had last year. And, of course, a champion and former U.S. Open champion, Lucas Glover. And he'll be back in the field this year, so you never know, right?
Well, there's another exemption. We gave Lucas an exemption coming out of Clemson in 2002. And 20 years later, he wins the tournament. And he came back many, many, many times over those two decades. So he's a really great champion and loves. He came here May 23rd for media day. A lot of players don't make that trip anymore. We had about 100 people listen to him in a Q&A, kind of talk about how much the event meant, how much a win meant. It was really neat. So couldn't be a bigger Lucas Glover fan. He's terrific.
Yep, no doubt about that. And how can people easily pick up tickets? Now, tickets are digital. Should let people know that as well. So you'll need to have that access as far as your phone is concerned. But what would be the best way for people to do that looking to go over next week?
Yeah, it's really simple. Even a technologically challenged guy like me can do it. It's all on the website, genderclassic.com. As you said, the tickets are digital. The transaction is secure and done right there. Once you have those, you can forward them to other people so they have them. And basically, you're showing up with your phone, not unlike what you do at an airport with the QR code on there. And parking is embedded into the ticket, so it'll tell you what parking lot for free. You can park in once you get the credential as well. We wanted to try to make it a little bit easier so people didn't have to have two separate credentials.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, before we let you go, of course, obviously, the LIV Tour coming on board and what Jay Monahan came out with on Wednesday as far as changes looking ahead as far as the PGA Tour is concerned. And with John Deere as a great sponsor, like you mentioned, for the JDC, what are you looking at maybe 5-10 years down the road as far as this tournament is concerned? Does it stay in its present spot, you think, or what do you think?
Well, this isn't it's a hard business to extrapolate out that far. But I will say that some of what Commissioner said pleases us here at the John Deere Classic in that the calendar year, January to August, is now going to be the season again. And those events inside that season, carrying full FedEx Cup points like we do, will become more meaningful because the fall events no longer will give players a head start on the FedEx Cup points race. So that to me, is a good thing. Whether or not, you know, the added events make it tougher for guys to build a schedule and for them to include the John Deere Classic, it's hard to say. But we've been successful, as you know, without getting the top five guys in the world here necessarily. We've always promised world-class athletes, 156 of them. And you might not know them right now, but this is the cream of the crop. And there's a new class coming in every year. Like I said, Davis Riley and Sahith Theegala this year are unbelievable young men and unbelievable athletes. So there's always a pipeline. And the LIV Exhibition Tour, I don't even really care where the money's coming from, quite honestly, isn't the same kind of product. And whether or not that remains appealing over time, I don't know. A shotgun event with 48 guys. For the 48 guys, they're getting, you know, incredibly rewarded and paid for that. But for a spectator, I don't know that that has longevity like a 72-hole stroke play event has. And by the way, when that 72-hole stroke play event leaves town, we still get to give $12 million away to charity. When the LIV event leaves town, they just leave town. So we'll see. We're proud of what we're doing here, and we feel like we've got a great future.
All right. Hey, Claire, great job for the duration you've been there. Look forward to one great John Deere Classic with you in charge. And then you just get to sit back and take it all in next year. So that'll be even better. So thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
All right. Always enjoy talking to you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Claire Peterson, the executive director of the John Deere Classic. Hey, before we get to a break, we've got problems on 380, Mark, between multi-vehicle accident on 380 northbound between North Liberty, Forever Green Road, and the Penn Street exits. That's number one. Number two, we've got a grass fire, and that is between, between the northbound and southbound lanes around the Highway 30 exit, which is backing everything up right now. So if you can avoid 380 at this time, please do so. Take a quick break. Come back. Wrap her up after this.
Save on your next project with 11% off everything at Menards. Light up your garage or workspace with Patriot Lighting. Whether you have a small room or a full-size garage, with Menards' great selection of utility lighting, you're sure to find the right light for your workspace. All utility lighting is 11% off now at Menards. Good through June 26th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Bring everybody to the Linn County Fair this Sunday for Military Appreciation Day. The donkey races kick off at noon, brought to you by Z102.9 and Kettleson RV. And at 6, it's Tough Trucks, sponsored by Roto-Rooter. For tickets and info, visit thelinncountyfair.com.
Okay, I get it. Sometimes you need a quick lunch, or you want to grab your family a meal on the way home, or you're just hungry and you need something quick. You can get Raising Cane's even faster now. Skip the line and order online. Do it at order.raisingcane's.com. You're going to get everything from their hand-battered, cook-to-order chicken fingers to all their amazing sides, like fresh coleslaw, crispy crinkle-cut fries, even add on their secret recipe cane sauce, and it'll be ready for you when you arrive. Put in your order now at order.raisingcane's.com and pick up at Raising Cane's in Coralville, off I-80 and Coral Ridge Avenue. One love.
3:56, couple minutes remaining. Todd and Alex coming your way next here on KGYM. Don't forget the Linn County Fair happening now, running through this Sunday, where you can catch the morning scramble in the donkey races at noon and then the tough trucks at 6 o'clock. Linn County Fair in Central City, just 15 minutes north of Marion. Free parking up there at the Linn County Fair. And Mark, always good to talk to Claire Peterson. They're going to do a great job at the John Deere Classic, and hopefully the JDC will be there in that spot on the calendar for years and years to come. Despite what is happening with Liv and everything going on right there. Keegan Murray, going to be a great night for him, his family tonight. It's going to go somewhere, you got to think, in the top 10. When it comes down to it, just, you know, I really don't care where he ends up. I'm just pretty darn happy to know that young man for the last 8 years or so.
Yeah, I can't wait to tune in. And if I had to vote in the poll question, it'd be fifth or higher.
All right. There you go. Why not make him number one, right?
Well, Rand McCaffrey believes so. I know that.
We've got a topic for you coming up tomorrow. Mark and I have two of them. We chose one, and we will talk about that. Plus, we will wrap up the NBA draft and look back where Keegan ended up. The topic tomorrow, Mark, for our Friday conversation.
We want to hear your most memorable duos in sports history.
Duos.
They don't have to be players, could be coaches, could be announcing teams. I think we're going to get a lot of interaction here, like we usually do.
Like we usually do. That'll be coming up tomorrow on the gym class. So tonight at 6, it's the NBA draft, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Todd and Alex are next.
Progressive presents Forced Metaphors, about bundling your home, auto, and other vehicles.
Any sports fan knows defense wins championships. Your champion.